Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, and welcome to the We Are Women podcast. I'm Janine Vosby, your host. And today with me, I have all the way from Central Queensland, I have Kate Duff. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Kate. I met her a few months ago, and I was just really astounded by the amount of creativity this woman had. Kate is a poet and a storyteller, and if you haven't been to Roma in central Queensland, it's about 7 hours drive from Brisbane. So with her husband and herself, they run a really successful construction business. They both went to boarding school in Brisbane, so they know Brisbane and understand the city life as well as the country life. But what I'm loving about Kate is I get to see all her beautiful creative stuff that she talks about, the land and the outback, which is just fabulous. So poetry has become firmly entrenched as a love of Kate's, and she's produced her first, and I think a second book is nearly out, a poetry book.
It's out.
Fantastic. Yeah. And we're going to talk about that, both of those books, because I know that it's really exciting when you have books published. I'm not going to say a lot more about Kate, because I'm sure that we're going to talk about a whole lot of things and get to know Kate well throughout this podcast. So welcome. Thank you for joining me, Kate.
Thanks, Janine. Thanks for having me on the podcast this morning.
From a construction business to this creative, has it always been exploding out of you, and it just now that you've got somewhere to put it all and direct it, or is it just something new?
I think I've always been creative. But once I found poetry, I found my thing. I've tried photography, I've tried painting. Most creative people have several outlets, and I've had several outlets. I still love photography. I don't get as much time for it now. But the poetry is something that I find just brilliant for getting rid of all of my thoughts, for clarity, and I just really enjoy writing poetry. So it's sort of me talking to me, but on a higher level.
And I love the free-flowing form of it as well. You've taken me on a journey. So tell me about your first and now second book that is now launched.
Okay, so Healing the Broken Things was written after Mum died, and that was when the poetry was written. The book wasn't published until a couple of years later, and I just published it because I thought I'll have a go at, you know, getting a book out there, and that book just came together really easily from a lot of poetry that I'd written. I'd also restarted the blog, so that was late last year, and then and I've written another book since then. Because I write prolifically, I nearly post poetry every day. I've always got tons of poetry, and then I filter the best bits into the books.
And what's the name of the second book?
So it's The Steps We Take Within. And it has a lot to do, with a journey, because my poetry tends to follow what I'm learning in my life. So it's when you read that collection, it explains, I guess, through poetry, the journey of the last 6 months or so that's happened in my life, and the thought processes go into the poetry, and then that comes out in a book form.
And that's what I find when I'm reading your poems in particular, but poetry that really resonates, it's that real truth within that comes out. I think that expressing the truth rather than just trying to find rhyming words, although, you know, there's been a lot of brilliant poems that do have rhyming words, of course, but again, they express the truth within.
Yeah, that's exactly that's exactly how I feel when I get it right. And that's why I love poetry so much, is it becomes a communication or a conversation with self, so that you're accessing information from your subconscious self that you don't get from any other. Some people would call it journaling. Mine comes out in poetry, and those lessons then come out through the poetry. And sometimes you can tell, because I don't know if you've noticed in your own life, but you tend to learn the same thing and then you come back to it and then you come back to it until you really get it and then you move on. So some of the poetry will seem to go, you know, a couple of months and then that same theme will come back. And that's when I realize now that I've already learned this stuff. You know, I need to really learn it. So, yeah, it's very philosophical and self-exploratory sort of poetry, which sounds dreadful, but it's not, because it's a common human experience. Yeah, it's a common human experience. I think a lot of people that love my poetry tend to get that resonating feel that, oh, I feel like this too. In fact, one lady said, "You're the voice in my head," which was really sweet and meant that I was getting it right, I think, because I was expressing myself truthfully enough and clearly enough that she felt the same way. And I think it's a common thread. We're more alike than what we are different in many ways, no matter where you're living.
No, yes, that's a really good point. I think that's why the poetry, but also your blogs, I think that's why that resonates with people as well. So you were writing a blog first, or that was just another thing that you were doing?
I started writing a blog probably 4 or 5 years ago, but because I can't seem to write about anything other than the authentic experience, it gets to feel like you're too exposed. So I stopped and I shut it down. And then last year, probably in October, I started the blog up again. And what the blog does is, if you're writing every single day, it just drives your progress and growth so much, because you have to come up with a theme every day. So you're really thinking and reflecting. And because of that, it just drives creativity, with me anyway, because that's what I blog about. So it drives my creativity. And now I've got 2 blogs, 2 Facebooks, 2 Instagrams, because I've got the magazine as well. So I've got massive amount of writing going on, as well as the books and other books that I'm writing. Mm. And it all came from that blog. If I hadn't started that blog, I wouldn't have, yeah. And if I hadn't reopened it and begun again, I wouldn't be where I am now.
So what's the name of the blog if people go looking for it, Kate?
So my personal blog is 1000bitsofpaper.com. It's a WordPress blog. Mm-hmm. And that's where most of my poetry gets published every day. There's things that aren't poetry, but mostly it's poetry. And then I've got another one for Audacity magazine now as well, but it takes a different form of writing.
Yes, and I know, you know, reading your things and having conversations with you for the last few months as well, that it's just this, it feels to me as if there's this real passion and purpose in you that you couldn't not do what you're doing now. And I think that's something that's really important for people to maybe recognize and understand within themselves. If they've got something that they can't not be doing, it's then to be able then to find an avenue or just do it without judgment on it as well. I suppose that's important.
It's very important. I think that's why I stopped blogging to start with, and I shut down my writing. And I did that for a period of probably 2 years and was focused on other things, but I missed it so much. And as soon as I started blogging again, you could just feel it. The writing was just wonderful. And I can't stop now. I did think the other day, because I don't make much money from what I do, and I thought, what am I doing spending all this time and energy? And you know yourself how much time and energy I spend. And, you know, and it's not for something that most people look for validation in, the fact that, you know, you're having money coming back in, or it's providing you with the return. And so I had a really deep think about that. And what I came up with was, I just can't not do it. And it provides me with so much energy and so much passion that the rest of my life is very rich. So I guess it's its own reward for me.
That's a really good point, that by following your passion and your purpose, for want of a better word, but I think it is the word, is that purpose that you have, it means that the rest of your life is better, because you're not begrudging yourself. You're doing what you're meant to be here doing.
Exactly. And that, you know, and that's what I was thinking too. I've tried a number of avenues just because it's sensible, you know, to get the money back from what I do, because it's an enormous investment of time and energy. And it just doesn't seem to work. And it actually crushes my creativity a bit, because I'm trying to strategize rather than just do what I enjoy and follow what I enjoy. And now I've realized that perhaps I'm blessed with a husband and a business that we make plenty from. So I am just able to give back to people. And Audacity Magazine, the people that I have interviewed just in the last month, I've got Kelly Shan. She does Life Journey with Kelly Shan, and she is amazing, and she makes nothing from what she does, but she inspires so many people. And talking to her gave me so much confidence, and I realized that it's not about all of that. I'm very lucky to be able to not focus on making money from what I do. And as soon as I did that, everything lightened up, and you just get so much synchronicity and flow back into your life, because you're just doing what you love. And I don't know, they reckon the money will come. I don't care now. I can't stop. I just love it. And being, you know, there's lots of people that are touched from what I do. And I mean, yeah, maybe that's enough. Maybe that's enough. It is for me anyway.
Yes. And it's fortunate to be in the situation where that can be enough as exactly. well, which is wonderful. And that's part of the universe providing, and then providing you with the opportunity. I know with me, I have to be giving information or mentoring or doing something. And I ran a course on last Friday, and I was still on a high with it all weekend, because it was me in my element, just doing what I absolutely love to do. And it energizes me. And as you said, it means that everything else you do around it becomes better, because you're able to live your purpose. I know when I've had jobs, I was doing much of the, you know, a lot of the same things, but it wasn't the freedom just to share and to do what I love. But it's such a different space. And I think that's a really important thing for everyone listening, is to be finding that. You'll know when you hit it, won't you?
Yeah, you do. And I spend a lot of time trying to find that thing. I think we grow up with this idea. My dad used to say, you're going to be brilliant at something. I don't know. Put a lot of pressure on me that way, because I could never find my thing. And I've worked in business with Steve, my husband, for a long time, and worked in other jobs too. But they're just jobs, you know. They're not I've always enjoyed them and that sort of thing. But the building, particularly with all the overheads and stress, and it's just something that I don't like thinking about. If I don't have to, I do what I have to do. And then, whereas I can just be on a high and be up at, you know, late at night, it's the biggest natural high. And I think it's incredibly healthy for people to do what they love doing. And I think it's really toxic for people not to be able to have that. And maybe your purpose isn't always, you know, your job. Maybe you do a job and then you give back in another way.
And there's different purposes through different stages of our lives as well. I mean, we're both in the stage where our children are grown, and they're in a different space. I don't think you've got grandchildren yet, have you?
No.
So that's a different space, whereas when you're parenting, that becomes your purpose, because they're the focus of your life when your children are younger. You know, it changes throughout life. I think that's something that is important to remember as well. But all through whatever you're doing, that essence of who you are, if it has that opportunity to, you know, maybe be a painter for a couple of years, as you said, or do something, as long as it has the opportunity of expression, but then finding it, as yours is, with words.
I think you're very right about the kids. Like, I really poured myself into the kids when they were little, and I've just enjoyed their lives so much. I still enjoy them, but I'm not in charge of them so much. You know, they're in charge of their own stuff. I just help out where I can. But, yeah, it is that section of life where we're going into now, and particularly, you know, the kids have moved out in the last couple of years. Tom's got his own house, Patty's. So you have that time to think, well, what am I going to do? And I never felt that dreadful oh no, because I've always been creative and have other interests and that sort of thing. But and I think it is very important for women to have other things. I know my mum didn't have a lot of other things, and she just adored all of us, and I think she really felt it when I left. So I think there's something for everybody.
Yeah, that's a bit off track, but we've sort of gone down that road a little bit as well. That's an important factor for women to have something, yes, that is theirs, that is that essence of them, and to find that. And because especially if you become an empty nester and it was your priority, then you can lose yourself a bit and trying to discover who you are and what you can give. And I know in the country areas, a lot of people find that in helping in the community, don't they? They really get involved with, you know, whatever the CWA or whatever the community organization is, and giving back that way. And that can be a wonderful experience. But whatever it is, having that something that's there.
Yeah, definitely. And I think another thing with creativity is people think that they've got to be really good at it, or they've got to have some latent talent, or the first time they pick up a paintbrush, they have to be brilliant. And it's not about that at all. It's, do you enjoy it? You know, we've had lots of, I know a lady from my writing group. She is older, and she actually ended up going back to work, but she was great at everything. You know, she got into, but there's other people that aren't so good when they pick up a paintbrush, but they enjoy the conversation and they enjoy being around it so much that just do it. Just have a go at everything and anything, and you'll find your thing. So, I just think creativity in particular is incredibly important, whatever that is to people, whether they write or they sew or they cook or whatever they do.
For me, if I'm just having I just need some downtime, but I do want to get some work done, I'll just get onto Canva and create.
Isn't that fun? I love Canva. I can get lost in there.
Yeah, me too. And I've created an image for and a quote for until I think from May I had it down until December or something, and I've one for every week done. And it was just blocked out that couple of hours just to get out of a space of thinking too much, but just be in a creative space. And yes, my creative is with words as well, but spoken words as opposed to written.
Oh, absolutely. You're brilliant at what you do.
Thank you. And
I think because you're able to give that to people, you know, you can see them. You haven't quite got me down pat yet, Janine.
No.
Blubbering on. I haven't been able to with COVID. I'm trying to get down there to go to some of your wonderful courses.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And that would help immensely. But until then, because I am a writer, it's very hard to condense everything into the spoken word a little. But
I know. And just for the listeners, when Kate and I are working together, Kate sends me 7 pages of beautifully written content, and I've sent her back 5 dot points.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. The art of summary. That's why my husband constantly does this. And wind it up, get to the point.
Yeah.
So I'm a lot better because of that, mind you. 25 years of marriage have wind it up. Can you imagine without that?
Absolutely. I'm married to a builder too. It's just one dot points, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, we've mentioned Audacity a couple of times, your magazine, and I know it's such an exciting project for you. So please tell us about it, because I've read the first two, I was going to say episodes. I've been watching too much
episodes.
Netflix.
It's a bit like episodes though, isn't it?
Editions. And they've just, the people that you've interviewed have been so interesting, and talk about creatives. It was just so exciting being able to join you on those, on the first two. We've got a lot more to come. So tell us about Audacity.
Audacity, it began as a challenge. I knew I had to create an email list, or I thought I did. And so the best way to do that is to do a newsletter. And I thought, well, if I'm going to do a newsletter, it'll all be about me. And I, you know, talk about that enough. I blog about that enough. So I thought I'll include other people. And then I thought I'll turn it into a magazine. So this was at the start. I didn't know how to do it. I put a timeline of, you know, a month on it. And by the end of the month, I'd have this magazine. And it was great. And I enjoyed it so much. And it was a mad rush. And it just, of course, took my mind completely off all things building, and I was useless to my husband for the month. But I got it out at the end of the month, and I loved it. I worked out how to do the software and all that sort of thing. The next month, I decided, right, I will do this again. And I had, I think it was a total of 11 or 12 interviews, and it was massive. It was 63 pages, whereas the first month was about 43, I think. This month I've actually brought it back a little bit, but the interviews are more in depth. So I'm still learning how to do all that. I'm not a journalist. I'm a storyteller, and I'm telling more stories this month and putting more of that sort of style back into it rather than it's amazing. You don't realize how much it takes to extract a good story out of somebody. They're full of good stories. They're wonderful people. But to do it in a way that honours them, you know, and put it together in a way that you... Because I look back on last month and think, I should have asked this and I should have done that. But because I knew so much about some of the people too, like Carmel Morant, she's a wonderful person, and I could have done so much more. I could have talked to her for... At the end of the day, though, you have to have to bring it into something that people can read. I'm not writing her autobiography, so So it is. I love Audacity, and I get to have so many wonderful conversations. And this month, it's about synchronicity, because I've found a lot of my interviewees through synchronicity, and what they've told me about how that occurs in their lives. It's just, we're like little kids, you know, we're believing in magic again, because it's the connections and the universe. You can just see it all without sounding too wahoo. You can see it all joining up, and it's amazing. And I think that that's one of the things, and Kelly mentioned it too with what she does. The more you just follow your heart and create and follow your intuition, the more you get this magic snowball effect just happening. You know, you meet the right people, you just get into this connecting the right people, and life becomes very much in flow. So that's been very exciting this month. And yeah, I'm just hoping to keep going with Audacity and probably just stick to that 5 or 6 people now a month. And just really enjoy it.
And it is the amount of creatives that you've been had the opportunity to interview, whether they are artists or musicians or writers as well. It I found as a reader of it that there's just so much opportunity for people to be that expressive self and to do what they love and to learn about them doing what they love as well. That was for me. It shifts me out of my usual world as well, and I really enjoyed that experience of that. I was at the museum in Brisbane yesterday, and we managed just sort of timed it to get a free guided tour from the volunteers that were there as we arrived. Yeah. And the tour guide talked about people making their mark. There's a lot of Aboriginal art in the museum at the moment, and so that's where it started, is this making your mark, and what is your mark and how it looks and how it changes over time with the influences of everything around you. And that's what either the writing is, or it's just, and not mark as in who you are, but a mark as in your mark as on a piece of paper. Yeah.
Yeah, that is so funny, because I actually did Dreaming Track. That's what I call my blog, Dreaming Track. You know, it's a dreaming track because it follows me, because I came across that concept in Aboriginal art. And a lot of their art, when you view it from above, you see it's a map. You know, that we had it explained to us at Uluru. They went through this Aboriginal art and they were showing us, you know, this is the symbol that they use, this is for when they sit, and this, and you can see, you know, it's this C, and it, but it's on the thing, and you can imagine men's legs, you know, sitting there. And when you view it from above, and so one of my poems the other day, I was just walking around the paddock with the dogs. I walk around every morning in the same loop, and I suddenly had this this idea that what does our life look like when viewed from above, you know, individually? Are we making our own pieces of art? as we move through our lives, and what would that eventually look like? Which, imagine, you know, I immediately wanted to pick up a paintbrush then, you know, and just lose myself for the day painting, and what would that look like? And yeah, and I think that's what, with my writing, eventually, it is a dreaming track, like you leave behind. Whether anybody reads it doesn't matter. It's more to do with making your mark and leaving something, traces, footprints, you know. And these days it's indelible because it sits on the internet. So
yes, and as opposed to, you know, I suppose finding something on the walls of a cave, which we
still doing it, aren't we? We've done it for millennia. People have been driven to leave their mark. So yes.
And it was a good concept of, for me, that the word mark as opposed to making a mark, but leaving a mark, which was the art in the museum, particularly one artist, I can't think of a name now, Mavis somebody, and she didn't pick up paintbrush until she was in her mid-60s, and she died last year in her early 80s, and huge works of art, and it's all from mostly Arnhem Land and the tide coming in and out and looking from down onto it. It's really, really, really stunning. It's just sort of, it's that, and you said before, you don't have to be perfect at things. That's the important factor, isn't it? That we look for perfection, or that holds us back from doing things.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that it's getting worse. I think that young people are finding it. You've just got to allow yourself. I know when I first started writing poetry, it came out of writing group, actually, and Carol said, we're all going to write poetry. I said, I hate bloody poetry. It's too hard, you know, to make things rhyme. And then we went home for Christmas, and as we were coming back, we came across a car crash, and it was only about 15 minutes after it had happened, and somebody had died, and it left this massive impact on me. It was a dreadful scene, and Steve got out and helped, and it was a dreadful scene, but it really left an impact on me, and I wrote poetry, and it was about 5 pages long, but at the end of it, it was gone, like all that emotion and all that feeling was gone. And it was called Driving Home for Christmas, because the thing was that a lot of the rest of our family were on the road that day, and in fact were not far ahead. And so as you come up to a car crash, you're thinking, is that family? Mm-hmm. But it's still somebody's family.
Somebody's family, yeah.
Yeah, and it left this massive emotional mark on me. But by the time I'd finished writing the poetry, it was much more peaceful, and I'd explained myself. And I think a lot of people in life do not explain themselves, or can't, or don't feel heard, whereas poetry always allows you to feel heard and to explain something to yourself. And I think that that's more important than anything else, is having that feeling that, okay, I've explained that now. Even though you're explaining it to yourself, I think that's the most important thing. And that's, after that, I just started writing poetry, and I love poetry. Because it does that, it allows me to have a voice.
Yes, and it's, I'm sorry, I'm just thinking of something else along that line. The thing that was popping in my head was 5 pages first. That just,
oh, it was epic. But that's what I mean. You don't have to, then as poetry, you tend to be able to condense it. So can you imagine if you were to write all of that out, it would be strings. And that's why I love poetry, is it condenses things.
Yeah,
it summarizes feelings, and it captures an emotion so much more efficiently.
Yes, it definitely does. But and what I was thinking is it's a form of journaling. If people aren't comfortable with poetry part of it, then just journaling is that expression, which is sort of a blog, a personal blog. Anyway, is journaling, but to be able to express it somehow.
That's right.
Especially if there's trauma or not even just the negative. If things are going well and you're finding a great deal of joy from things, to be able to express that, because I think when you get the opportunity to express that, you can bring more of that in as well.
Yeah, no, what I use mine now for is lessons, you know, like those philosophical things that I'm constantly reading, and then how that reflects back on my life. And, you know, a lot of men actually enjoy my poetry because it's a summary of a lesson. It's not necessarily all flowery and that sort of thing, or overly emotional. It tends to be more philosophical. So,
yeah. Yeah, and it's great to have an audience too. I mean, that's really
important. It is great because you've got a conversation happening. That's
right. But it's not essential. It's that just what you're going to do. Just yeah, yes.
And like you said, you can get a real high from actually getting it, hitting the nail on the head. You know, when you write something down, you think that's exactly what I think, and it's that expression again of clarity, because you've clarified something with yourself. So
I hadn't thought of that aspect of it, but I really like that aspect, that it's that clarity of self and finding a way to express that I'm not going to want to come back to the word journaling again, but it's a way to express yourself that is, trying to think of the language I'm trying to think of, which said she's good at words. Well, how about that?
Yeah, no, but that's what poetry is very good for. It's a discipline in itself, because you have to contain a message, quite a large one, and that's what I struggle with sometimes, and that's why it's so good for me, is because I can really express something and then go, yes, that's what I meant. And it stops that little voice that goes around in your head.
Yes. I think the point is, everyone loves telling stories or reading stories or having stories told to them at some stage. So being able to find your own story to be able to tell, and however you express that with your mark, then I think that's a very important factor, isn't it?
It is very, yeah.
Yeah. Now, going back to Audacity, something that you said very, very casually, I gave myself a target of a month to learn how to put together a magazine and then put it together. I don't know whether the other listeners were thinking when you quickly went over that, going, what, a month to learn and create a magazine? That's just outstanding, really. It's
what the brain's capable of when you give it a task, though. And you would have found that with business life. Probably a couple of months ago, I hit upon the idea that if you give the brain a task, it's amazing how efficient it is. And if you ask it the right questions and let it go, it's terribly helpful. So I had to find the software to be a page turning, you know, it's a digital magazine. So I had to find the best software, and there's a lot of them out there. An issue ended up being the best one. But then I had to teach myself Canva, because I played with Canva, but I hadn't really, it was very glitchy. And so then I had to teach myself to do that, plus write all the articles, plus put them in there. So that's what, when I look back at the first issue, sometimes I think, oh, gee whiz, that wording, or I should have said that. But I do give myself credit for the fact that there was an awful lot going on.
Oh, there was. I think it was just
to get it right. So, and it looks completely different to the next one. And the third one will look different again. And until I get my process refined, which could be 6 months' time, you know, it will continue to evolve. But yeah, it took a month.
Now, that's a really interesting point, isn't it? That if you are setting goals, as you said, the brain will, if you set them well and write them down, and then you can achieve them, more chance of achieving it. But if you set a goal and it's the process along the way, because I'm very much a believer, there's no such thing as perfection anyway. We can do things better, but whatever better is for you, everyone has a different definition of better. And you can, but there's no, looking for perfection holds so many people back from doing things. So anyway, you've gone, okay, I'm going to do this. I've got a month. I'm going to learn all the software. I'm going to figure out how to do it, put it together, go and do all the interviews and have it released by this date, which is exactly what you did.
Yeah.
And so how much was there about, oh gosh, this needs to be perfect going on, or just this needs to be really good, but I do need to get it out? That became the priority, or that balance, because I know you like to do things well, but again, not because I know I pull a lot of people back for using the word perfect, or because it's whatever that definition is. But yeah, so how did you go with that balance of, okay, just get it done, Kate, get it done?
I didn't honestly have time to pick it too much. And as a lifelong reader and a lover of magazines, I love magazines as well as books for a completely different reason. I think magazines are highly more visual. So I was hard on myself, and it was a very intense month. So I was very hard on myself, but in the end, I was happy with that. I can look back now, because you learn so much. You learn so much the next issue. So when I look back to the first one, it was like, oh, it looks to me to be not as good as what the second one does. But you compare it all the time, and you can't do that with yourself. You can't compare yourself to 2 years ago, because you can't go back and fix that. You can only ever work in the moment. But I was very happy with it. A lot of people were quite impressed with the first one, so that was great, and that gave me a lot of confidence for the second one, which I loved the look of the second one. I would have loved to, as I said, spend more time on my interviewing style and getting the right questions out. I'm trying to do that with this one, and then, yeah, we'll go from there. I think it's a constant improvement, because it's very hard to define perfection, because it's so, you know, art is so subjective. You know, this magazine might not be your sort of magazine because you like homewares, or this magazine might be not your sort of magazine because there's nobody famous in here. But the thing is, I love about it, the musicians like Ollie Merk that were in the second one were very, their life stories were lovely simply because they were happy producing and creating where they were. They didn't need to be famous. That wasn't Ollie's whole trip. He was enjoying what he was doing. And he might well end up famous, but that's not his be-all and end-all. And I think that that is a common theme of the people that I talk to, is none of them are particularly headed, you know, for that famous bracket, which is a bit hit and miss anyway in Australia.
And it's that important recognition of, you're setting the goals and doing the work, and then what you achieve is next time you set the goals again and you do the work, and then you achieve, and you set the goals and you do the work and you achieve, and each time it's a learning experience.
I work as hard as I can on that issue, and often it's in hindsight that I look back and think, oh, I should have done this, or I could have done that. If I'd known that at the time, I would have done it. But I think going forward, you have to realize that you'll always look backwards no matter what it is. You'll always look backwards and think, I could have done that better. But you can't go back and fix it.
No, treating it as a learning experience rather than a mistake. And I think that's the important factor, is going, okay, so what did I learn from that? Because so many people look back at things and see them as mistakes, and they just were what they were, because we all do the best we can do with what we've got and knowledge and ability at that particular time. And then tomorrow we have more knowledge and ability because we've actually had a go at doing something.
Absolutely. And that is one thing that a key part of my life is, A, treating everything as lessons. There are no mistakes. And the other thing is just have a go. There's so many people that are so focused on perfection and so focused on I can't do, that they never have that little thought. It was a thought. It was just a little thought that, oh, I'll do a magazine. You don't know how to do a magazine. It could have stopped there. Instead, I was like, I know I don't, but I'm going to have a crack at it. And from there, I've built a creation that I really love and that inspires people, and it inspires me because I get more out of it than anybody, because I'm having conversations with really interesting people that I wouldn't, you know, you can't ask deep questions of everyday people, but you can if you're interviewing them.
Look, this is why this podcast has been going for 4.5 years. It's one of the reasons I absolutely love doing it. It certainly is not a moneymaker. It is just a way for me to learn about amazing people and then giving them a platform to share their ideas or their inspiration with other people. It's just, but I do it because I love hearing people's stories and the amount of people that have an incredible amount of value to offer in this world.
Yeah, but you get it from the conversation itself. Like when I was talking to Kelly, it felt like that conversation was all about us. Like the things that I was, I felt like the universe had actually given me Kelly, because it's so many things were saying, oh, I wasn't professional to start with, or don't worry about that. You just keep going. And mm-hmm. I just got so much more confidence from talking to her. And then so basically the interview, then you share this wonderful person with other people, but so much of what you do, you get a great deal out of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we had three points that you wanted people to definitely take away from your experiences, having, you know, created everything that you have done so far, what would that be?
I think number one is creativity is an energy, and I think everybody should tap into whatever that energy is for them. And it's just as healthy for you as nutrition and sport and anything else. We spend a lot of time focused on what's the best thing to eat, what the best exercise is. We should also be creating, because it's brilliant for your brain and it just gives you a wonderful energy. And I think it's very life enhancing. The other thing is always follow your heart and your intuition, always. And you will have the most interesting life if you do that. I think that's a big key factor that I've learned this year. I mean, I can see it spread out all over my life, but always listen to the little quiet voice, because it says crazy things, but just go and do them. Not jump off the bridge, not that crazy, but little things like, I should go to that cafe for lunch today, or I should meet up with this person, or I haven't talked to them, or just follow your heart and your intuition. And then, and as long as you do, I think you're supported in this life and you're safe, you're held.
Yeah, I agree. I use intuition with work things all the time. I haven't heard from that person for a while. It just pops in your head. I'll email them and they'll go, oh, I was thinking about you. And perfect timing, whatever.
Amazing. I love it. And the more you listen, the more you create a flow path for yourself, and life becomes a lot easier. But I think a big thing to say to people right now is you are safe, you are held, and the more that you do that, the more that you have that guidance in your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Now, how can people get in touch with you and find all your books and magazine and everything? I'm going to have a lot of things in the show notes of all these different links.
You'll have to have a lot of different links. So I've got two books out at the moment, two poetry books. They're both on Amazon. The first one is Healing the Broken Things. The second one is The Steps We Take Within. The Steps We Take Within is got 100 poems. It's a much larger book, but I'll be releasing books every 6 months. Audacity has its own Facebook page. It's Audacity Magazine Online is its Facebook page. So you can find it there. It also has its own blog, but everything. If you find me, Kate Duff, on Facebook, all my links, it's a public profile, and all my links are there.
So Audacity Magazine, people can just download that for free.
They can, yes. Mm-hmm. And it's on the Facebook page, or they can get on the mailing list. And then they will be emailed a copy every month, and all of that is on the Facebook. But if they find me first, they'll find my pages. Mm.
Okay. And are you doing a book release for The Steps We Take Within at all?
No, I don't have time.
Okay. All right.
It's like I just tend to create and then put it out there. And it is getting some wonderful reviews, which is great. They're starting to roll in. It takes a lot longer for the printed copies to get to Australia. And a lot of people I've found love the printed copies, but they won't receive theirs until November, early November, the people that have already ordered it. It released on the 1st of October, and they ordered it, and it takes a month. But I've got people around the world, in America and that sort of thing. They seem to get there straight away. So, some lovely reviews rolling in for that, and that's always lovely to hear. And they help you out a bit too when you leave a review. So if anybody reads it, please leave a review. But it is in ebook form, so you can have it immediately if you want it downloaded in ebook.
Oh, excellent. And your website's Kate Duff, isn't it? KateDuff.com?
No.
Okay.
So my website is 1000bitsofpaper.com.
1000bitsofpaper.com.
Yeah. And the other one is Audacity Magazine. Online.
Okay. All right. So people
can... It'd be nice to have a nice cohesive thing, but where's the fun in that? Yeah. Creative. There's stuff everywhere. When I created 1000bitsofpaper.com, I didn't realise how appropriate that would eventually become. So it's everywhere, scattered. But the poetry is on 1000bitsofpaper.com. Right. One word, and they will find everything else from there. You can subscribe to Audacity by following links on that blog.
Okay. All right. Now, look, that's wonderful. And I just want to remind people that, you know, to follow that creative within you, whatever it might be, allow yourself to experience and try different things to see what works for you, that you've got an opportunity to release.
And allow yourself to be a learner. Get it wrong.
And it may be just even being in the garden and creating gardens of, it can be anything, can't it? It's not.
Oh, yeah. And mine has been. At the start of the year, I was gardening, veggie gardening, and then I started painting, you know, black plastic pots, they're ugly. But to buy new pots, I got mad on the pot plant craze. Everybody went mad. And I just started painting these black pots with, what is it? It's a certain type of paint. You just paint it straight on and they're so vivid and beautiful. So I had all these pot plant pots. I went mad on it. Steve was like, oh, here we go again. Anyway, 2 weeks later, of course, I had pots of paint. And when it leaves, it just leaves. It's like, I've got enough. I don't want to see any more paint now. But I enjoyed it so much, and it just gives you such a buzz of energy and happiness. And living with somebody who is creative, my husband always says, is really nice, because you're always happy. As long as you're creating. When you're not creating, it's a bit, clean out the grocery cupboard then. And create a mess.
Absolutely.
I think it's important to do.
Yeah, I have enjoyed our conversation so much. It's just been a whole lot of fun. And there's, for the listeners, there's so many ways that you can get in touch with Kate and just have the opportunity to read the things that she's created. You're going to love it, I guarantee it. Especially Audacity magazine. I think and subscribe, because that means you don't miss out on a copy. I know I go chasing things that are on Facebook. When was that meant to be out? How come I haven't read the copy yet? So definitely subscribe to it. I think it's a great idea. Yeah. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Janine. That was lovely. Thank you.
And welcome. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Remember to please leave a review. 5-star always works well. I appreciate that a lot. And if you've got any questions if you want to book in a free strategy session with me, then go to JanineVosper.com and you'll find a little button that you can click for that. And we can have a conversation, chat about what you might need, you know, what's happening in your business and your life. And maybe there's things I can help you with. If not, I can connect you with somebody who can. That's a good role that I play as a connector. And I can't wait for you to join me on the next episode of the We Are Women podcast. Have a fantastic fortnight. Bye for now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.